Hi all, welcome to Chatting Flicks, the movie and TV podcast. I'm your host, Carl Pearce, and today with us we have Lee Stackpole.
Hello.
And we have Richard Ellen.
Hello.
And today's episode, we're talking about the best opening scenes from movies. So, boys, what are we looking for when you're talking about the best opening films? And by the way, it doesn't have to be the best film ever made.
No,
at all.
No.
It could just
it could be something you hate.
Amazing.
Yeah. So, let me just throw it out there. La La Land. I love that.
Yeah.
First 5 minutes. And in answer to your question, something you can stick on for 5 minutes just before you go to bed or just before you go out and think, yeah, that's brilliant, that, and then just turn it off.
Yeah.
And you're just happy with that. Or something that just sets the whole city, or you go, wow, that's just,
yeah,
you know,
fantastic.
I want to watch it. So yeah. It's like it's one extreme or the other. Something you're happy to watch and then that's it, or then you're hooked for the whole of the film.
Yeah.
But nothing in between.
Mm. And it doesn't, as you say, it doesn't have to be an amazing film. Like, there's some awful films that have got great starts.
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
I like La La Land.
I've not seen it, to be honest.
Oh, fair.
I'm just saying that.
We watched it in a week. I thought it was really good. But yeah, I mean, like a similar one might be The Matrix. The opening to The Matrix with Trinity, and
yes,
she, you know, she sort of jumps in the air and the camera goes round,
yeah,
and
yeah,
she's getting chased.
Because it was the first time you'd ever seen that multi-angle slow-mo.
Yeah, the slow-mo,
yeah,
that's what we call
it. It was done to death after that.
Oh,
yeah.
Bullet time.
Bullet time, yeah. Amazing. Like, what an amazing thing to throw at the start of a film.
Yeah,
so things like that, and you want to watch what's happening next. Right, so who wants to start then? I know you've said La La Land already, so do you want to talk about that first?
No, well, just purely because, I mean, has it got to have music in it? Not
so what
necessarily.
So what happens at the start of La La Land, for those who haven't seen it?
They are on a flyover, I'm going to assume, in the States.
LA.
I never knew this.
LA Land.
I didn't know this. And Claire, there was something on. It was on Pointless, or one of those things that you just go home and watch because it's chewing gum for your eyes. And it was one of these questions. And I said, I never knew that. And she said, everybody knows that. I never knew. Anyway, they're in traffic jam, very much like the Falling Down, Start of Falling Down.
Yeah, yes.
Very much like Everybody Hurts, R.E.M.
The video.
A video, wow.
Yeah.
And basically, I think they've got a radio on and a little bit of a ditty comes on and they're tapping there and then just the whole traffic jam. It just branches out into the whole traffic jam. So somebody starts dancing or singing and then somebody else starts out and it just spreads and then the whole traffic jam is just singing and dancing.
It's all filmed as one shot, isn't it? I know it's obviously not one shot. It's definitely doctored, but I'm sure it's filmed as one continuous shot. There's no cuts, I think. I could be wrong.
There's a couple of films that try and pretend it is, but it isn't. But yeah, that's a long take.
Yeah,
thing. Yeah,
I'm sure it has. But yeah, fantastic opening. Have
it's
you seen that? Like,
really good film.
No, not yet.
No.
So
I do like me. Is it Ryan Gosling?
It is
Ryan Gosling. Yeah,
Emma Stone. Yeah, I thought it was very good. I was very impressed. It's very sort of old school musical, isn't it?
See, I've been swayed. Claire says she was very underwhelmed by it, but I want to give it a go because of that first opening scene. That's this one extreme. I want to see the rest of the film now because of that.
The ending's a bit.
Well,
I know. I'm not going to tell you what happens in the ending. Telling you what happens in the ending.
Can we edit it? And then
so you forget it. Yeah, there we go. All right, then we'll mention the ending. But the ending was satisfying.
I'm going to cover my ears and go,
okay,
la,
oh
la,
God,
la.
That's
no, no, I'm going to go, la, la, la. Can I go on, are we done with that? Or?
Yeah, if you want to, yeah, go on.
I was just going to say, if we can stick with a musical, another one I can just stick on, but you got to turn it right up to 80, because I am goes to 80, don't know why. The Greatest Showman, that first. But again, it's the music that gets you rather than what's going on.
No,
so
there's nothing wrong with that though, isn't there?
No.
I can't seem to remember how it starts. I have seen it.
It's the main, The Greatest Showman theme.
This is The Greatest Showman.
Yeah,
that one.
It's that one. And it's got all of the circus performers give a little bit into it. They all play their part. But it's just the music that gets me. It's fantastic. And when you turn it up, and because it's got the audience and they're stamping on the chairs and he goes, and they go, boom.
Yeah.
And it's, again, I'll just turn that up and then Maddie will come down and scream at me because it's like 11 o'clock at night and she goes,
turn it down, Dad.
Yeah.
Excellent. Any other musicals we can think of that sort of open
Like, well, that's why I thought we'd get those two out of the way. So
I can't do any other musicals. No. I mean, I'm looking at a bit of a list here, and one I hadn't thought of, and it's like, oh, obviously that's amazing. The Lion King.
Yeah,
it's a musical, isn't it?
Yeah.
That opening is outstanding. No.
I've not seen The Lion King.
Oh yeah, you need to watch that.
I've never seen. This is why we set film club up.
It's got that operatic sort of grandeur, hasn't it, about its opening and the music.
Save our life.
Yeah, it's just great.
And it finishes. The opening finishes with them holding Simba up to the animal kingdom.
Yeah.
But that very first scene where the sun's coming up over the Serengeti, is it?
Yeah.
Would it be, yeah? And it's like all animated and it just looks amazing. And then when you compare it to the remake one, the inverted commas live action one, it just doesn't got the same feel because it's not as stylized. But yeah, amazing. And Circle of Life, obviously written by Andrew Lloyd Webber, was it? And Elton John?
Was, yeah.
Yeah?
Tim Rice.
Tim Rice, or possibly Tim Rice, not sure.
Oh, don't know.
I don't know myself.
It's one of the two of those three.
I can't think. But yeah, just a fantastic, I mean, great film anyway, but great opening as well.
Yeah.
Remember, everyone knows about that when you hold something up like a baby or something. That's a circle. Yeah. Like that's the Lion King. Yeah. Cracker. All right, any more musicals?
No, that's it. Podcast over.
Have you got any Lee, that you can think of?
Look, I've got loads. I've come to realise my first one started with an opening, wasn't it? My first podcast, when I was talking about Apocalypse Now.
Yeah.
And they're letting that off. So I'm not going to mention that again. And there's another couple of war films. And I'm not going to mention them again because I think, like, you know what I mean, I've probably mentioned them all that many times already. I'm going to go with the one that I started off and everything about, like, the music. It's not a musical, so it wasn't relevant to the last one. But I thought it's colour, it's the choice of music. I'm like, oh, this is exotic. I'm really going to like that film. And it was Ang Lee's The Life of Pi. It's where it comes in. Because I basically was asking people what this film's going to be like, and I knew there was a tiger in it. And I'd seen some of the CGI, a documentary with the CGI team showing bits about he was doing the tiger. And I thought, this could be nearly boss, this film. And my mate had seen it. And he went, did you ever see Big Fish? And I'm like, I did like Big Fish.
You all right? Who left there?
He's left.
Yeah, he's gone. All right, see you in a bit.
So you said I did like Big Fish.
Big Fish.
Big Fish had that sort of like surreal, colourful thing about it. And my mate went, it kind of reminded me of Big Fish. So I'm like, well, do you know what, I like that? So I'm going to, I'll watch The Life of Pi. And I remember buying it on DVD straight out on Blu-ray everyone was buying Blu-ray. And I stuck it on. And that sort of Hindu music comes on, doesn't it? And you're like, I was straight to India, and it's going around the zoo, and you're just watching like the zoo animals and the little creatures scurrying around the zoo, and I'm like, I'm gonna really, really like this film.
Yeah,
it's immediately colourful, the music's nice, it's exotic, and to be fair, it is one of them sort of go-to films that I would say watch again.
Yeah,
and I keep sort of saying to Deb, would Amelia like it? You know, she's 12 now. And I think she'd like the bits with the tiger in.
I think it's all right. Yeah.
But I see the Big Fish analogy because it's the whole film is a story. And
yes.
They start telling it at the start, and it's an old version, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. So it's one of them films. And you know what? I could actually just sit there and watch The Life of Pi again now because I know like technology's advanced quite a lot, but that still looks great when the tiger's sitting there and it's watching the fish. And everything, and I'm just like, that's
it. Is it's very vivid, isn't it? Like the colour, like you say, like the colours are very vivid when you think of it. It's a very bright film.
Yeah,
I know there's a reason for that without giving the ending away, but
yeah,
it does play nicely into the film.
Yeah,
they called that unfilmable, didn't they?
But
I think he's done a great job.
I think, like, I wish I'd seen it on the pictures.
Mm.
And some people didn't care for it, but you know what? It's a great film.
Yeah,
and you know what? It's probably quite family friendly.
Yeah.
I suppose you could sit there and get away with watching that, providing the children aren't like too small.
Yeah, because
wouldn't get too upset. Yeah, like bits at the beginning maybe.
Without giving too much away, there's a lot of implied stuff, isn't there?
Yeah.
Mm. So you could, I think you could get away with it.
Yeah.
You can still enjoy it, can't you, as a child, I suppose.
Yeah. So that's it, Life of Pi.
Good shout.
Yeah. I suppose like other quick honourable mentions, opening of Enemy at the Gates.
Go on, I'm seeing this one.
The Soviet Army. So basically, if you're thinking like Saving Private Ryan, except that it's not D-Day, it's, I didn't want to mention war films, but it's so good. And it's the Battle of Stalingrad. So imagine Saving Private Ryan, but it's the Soviet army and they're struggling a little bit. So they're getting one rifle between two of them. They're getting padlocked in on the trains after like only a couple of hours worth of training, and they're getting thrown into the Mikrad, that is Stalingrad, against the highly equipped Wehrmacht, who've got all the gear and are just dug in waiting for them. And you're just like, you know, you've got to feel sorry for the Soviet troops there. I know Russia's not too popular at the moment, but
yeah, people are people, aren't they?
Yeah, this was this was some pretty hard fighting, and it was quite brutal, you know. And it was, you know, they were being brutalized by the Soviet Union as well as the Third Reich, really, the conscription, you know what I mean? They were kind of done either way, but like, what an opening, and you're like, wow, you know what I mean? Yeah. And even if you're not a massive Jude Law fan, I thought he was brilliant in this film. It's a brutal opening, and it's well worth just watching the opening of the film. And yeah, I did see something on Facebook before as well. We were talking about that bullet time swordfish used the same camera thing for the ball bearings at the beginning of Swordfish.
Sickening, isn't
so
it?
It was a brilliant opener to an otherwise not great film.
Big cast.
Should have had all the ingredients,
but yeah, it didn't live up to.
No, you could kind of just put it up against, like, we've mentioned the Fast and the Furious quite a few times, Richard, haven't we? That sort of comic strip. I'm not really taking it seriously. I'm entertained by the stuff that's happening, but I'm not gonna feel like, you know, rewatching it unless it's just on. But it
there's no substance to
no,
it.
No, there's
at
no
all.
No, it's all slick, there's no substance. And it doesn't take itself too seriously, but that it did use.
I can't remember.
The opening.
It's like a hostage situation, isn't it? And it's a fellow who's got a ball bearings bomb on him.
That rings a bell.
Yeah. But then it goes off in slow motion, basically.
Yeah, that rings a bell, but I didn't even think it was swordfish.
That's the only thing I remember. Well, no, there's two things I remember about it, but that's one of them.
So
the other thing for our viewers is, wasn't Halle Berry paid an exorbitant amount of money to take a top off?
That's
all I remember about it. Those two things and the ball bearings.
otherwise unremarkable film.
Yeah,
with a, you know, they probably used all the budgets on the opening.
Yeah, and the boobs
and Halle Berry. But who doesn't love Halle Berry? You know what I mean,
she's boss.
What about you? Come on.
Yeah, I love Halle Berry.
Yeah.
What do I mean?
We're dominating
so
this.
So, I think you mentioned earlier, like, Saving Private Ryan. I know you don't want to talk about war films too much.
I think, do you know what? I kind of cancelled that myself after being the one to say I didn't want to talk about war films.
Well, yeah. Like, in terms of Saving Private Ryan, I don't remember anything about that film apart from that opening 10-15 minutes. That is...
It's relentless.
Brutal, relentless, gruesome.
You don't look away.
No.
Everything comes up with something different. You see people with a leg over there, and they go, is this the one where he goes and picks up his leg and he's wandering around?
Yes, he's in shock. Yeah.
Madness. And then there's a fella who a bullet pings off his helmet, and he goes, look at that, I'm lucky, aren't I? He took his helmet off and then just gets shot in the head.
Yes.
And you think, it's just like horrendous. It's brutal. And it's a fantastic piece of cinema. That first, whatever it is, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever. It's a fantastic piece of, like, oh, it is, yeah, it's just
phenomenal, isn't it?
Yeah.
And everything about the sound. Now, I know they showed it to some veterans who were having panic attacks and things like that.
Really?
Yeah, who were watching it. Which then brings us, obviously, to Christopher Nolan's one, which was kind of the opposite, because for the first 4 minutes of that film, no one says anything.
Oh, right. So I haven't seen that. So what film's this?
This is Dunkirk. Instead of, obviously, where it starts off with the noise and sound effects, it's silence. And you're like, these fellas are scared here because they're trying to get to the beaches. They know the Germans are somewhere. But no one speaks the first few minutes.
Mm.
And then you just hear gunshots and still no one's speaking. And there's actually no dialogue for several minutes into that film. Apart from a French fella saying au revoir, because they're basically staying.
Au revoir.
While the UK forces get to the beach.
That's marvellous.
Yeah, and it's brilliant.
It's something drawn out. How long could we film for before we have to get someone to speak?
Well, I think keeping with that theme, there's two other films I'm thinking of now.
Go on.
What's happened? Back to the Future.
The opening of Back to the Future.
There's no speech, but it's a really
nice
opening.
Oh, I see. With the clocks.
But it's a nice opening as well as no speech for a long time.
Yeah.
Plugging it in, plugging the amp.
Yeah.
The other one.
Well, I'm just going back to the Future. Sorry, and that when he obviously he plays like boom, and blows the place up.
Yeah.
And then he's skateboarding around town. What a fantastic opener! Like it's just you're getting to see the town that he lives in, which obviously becomes important in all the films because you need to know it before we go back in time and see it change.
There's little Easter eggs as well in that first 5-10 minutes, like when he kicks his skateboard and it carries on and it goes to the bed and it hits the box of plutonium.
Yeah.
There's newspaper clippings. Now, are all the clocks identical? I can't remember.
They're all the same time, aren't they?
But they're 15 minute, whatever, they're 15 minutes out, half an hour out, whatever it is.
Mm.
You see the dog food opening thing.
Yeah.
So he's clearly an inventor. So there's a lot crammed into just that little bit purely visually.
Yeah. It is. I hadn't thought about that, but that is a great opening, yeah. I mean, and the soundtrack's amazing anyway, but that.
Yes.
Huey Lewis. Is it Back in Time it plays it? Or Power of Love, isn't it?
Yes, Power of Love.
That's the Power of Love. Yeah, that's a great opening.
And the other opening where there's no speech but it tells a whole story in about 5 minutes is Up.
Oh, by far the best opening to any film I've seen.
And it's there's a lifetime story from zero to, well, I suppose it's a little, hang on, is it a little bit after the opening?
Yeah, he's older, but even so, it's still a lifetime, isn't it?
No, isn't the very, very first bit where he's watching in the cinema? He's in the cinema, so a bad call for me. He's in the cinema watching the news, because when I was young, you had to go to the cinema to watch the news.
No way.
Yeah. and he's a little kid, and that's where he sees the future wife, spoilies, on the way home. And then we go into that montage.
Yeah.
So, bad call by me there.
It's still a great opening.
Yes.
And yet, for those who haven't seen it, it is basically him, the main character, I can't remember his name, meets his wife. Has
What's
a life.
His name?
I can't remember.
Mr.
No. Don't know. Couldn't tell you. Mr. Up.
Mr. Up.
So he meets his wife. They go through life. And again, as you say, all dialogue less. That's the right word.
No, just music.
Just music. And they obviously they can't have kids for whatever reason. They're upset about it. And then
awful.
She.
So sad.
Yeah, and then you see her pass away. And they grow old together and she passes away.
Yeah.
And he carries on living in the same house. And that's like, oh my God, it's so upsetting. Mm. But it's a fantastic opening.
Yeah.
As you say, it's a little mini film.
Mm.
And with a lot of these openings, that's what they tend to be. They tend to be little mini stories as a prelude to the main story.
Yeah.
So another one I was thinking of, The Dark Knight. So,
now, I always get these mixed up, don't I?
Yeah, go on.
This is a historic thing with me and Chat and Flicks. The Christopher Nolan Batman films, I always get them wrong. Is this the one with the Jokers at the start?
Yes.
Good call. I was going to talk about that.
It's like a little bank heist, isn't it? So
great.
Yellow bus drives through the bank. Fellas all jumping out. You see various people doing various things like cutting wires and scooting across the street on wires.
All got
and things.
The Joker masks.
Joker masks, and one by one they get shot by their partner.
Yeah.
Until there's one left at the end, and then reveals himself to be the Joker. Mm. And it's just an absolutely amazing introduction to that character. We all know, you know, anyone who's watched that film, let's say 90% of people who watch that film, all know who the Joker is.
Mm.
Either from the 66 Batman, the Michael Keaton Batman from the comics, whatever, you know who the Joker is, and that introduction to that Joker, it's amazing.
Mm.
And it is its own little thing. You could just watch that, and that's a great little short film.
And we get an idea of it's a new Joker, because he's quite a little bit more sadistic, isn't he?
Yeah.
Whereas the original Joker was a little bit comical cartoon, as Lee was saying before. And then Michael Keaton, Jack Nicholson's Joker, is a little bit more gangstery. Whereas this Joker, he's just like on his own, isn't he?
Yeah.
And the rest of the film, he's just on his own. He's a Wild card.
Absolute wild card, yeah. And it, with it being a bank that's owned by the mob or whoever, he sort of he doesn't care. He's carefree in that instance. He's what's the word when you're anarchist? Anarchistic, is that right?
Well, it is now.
It is now. It's a word. Let's go with that. I'm trying to make words, obviously. But yeah, great opening. Are there any more superhero films that have a great opening that you really enjoyed?
I don't class it as a superhero, but it's Marvel, Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Yes.
Baby Groot.
Oh,
Baby
yeah.
Groot dancing to Mr. Blue Sky. A musical?
No.
It's not a musical, but...
Right, I was having a conversation with one of our colleagues, Dan, the other night, and he was saying a musical... now, what was it? It's a musical if the music... is the conversation that they would have had, or it's the thoughts of a character or a narration, whereas this is just, there's music going on in the film, so it's not a musical. Makes sense.
But but it's the music that
the
makes
music it. Is, unbelievable. And it's very funny. So
you've got everything going on in the background.
That's it. So for those who haven't seen it, little baby Groot's walking around this battlefield, if you like. the Guardians are fighting this tentacle monster.
Has he got headphones in?
He might have the headphones
I can't
in.
I remember if he... Yeah, I don't know. It's pretty.
It might have actually, because he's unaware of what's going on around him, and they're all sort of trying to avoid him and things like that. And you can see what's going on in the background. And yeah, it is. It's good. It was a good opening. Mm. Yeah, really good. Yeah. Any more superhero ones? Because I'm trying to think of some, but there's none where I go, oh, that's an amazing opening for a superhero film.
No, I can't think of any. No.
Like there's one here, Blade. Blade on this list I'm looking at here. Blade, obviously a superhero film in terms of being a comic book character.
I can't remember it.
So the opening of Blade is when he goes into this club and just starts kicking people's faces and things.
It's a vampire club, is it?
That's right. It starts off, someone goes in and then they're in like a club and then it rains down blood. But he's not a vampire, he's a human. And then Blade comes in and just starts chopping people up. As the blood's flowing and the music's kicking off. Great opener. Good. Alright, any more you've got?
Jaws.
Ooh, yeah, go on. See, I haven't seen Jaws for a long time, so I can't remember where that would start.
So, it's just... I think it's a couple, and she basically wants to go skinny dipping. It's in the middle of the night or very late at night. So she goes skinny dipping. She's saying to her partner, come on in. So then she starts swimming out. I'm trying to think, when does the music start? I think the music starts when she's out and it's just dead quiet. And then all of a sudden she just gets pulled down. And then it's like, and then she comes back, she's gasping for air and everything. And that's really, it just sets the tone for the film that.
Yeah.
You don't see the shark. You just see it pulled down. But you see, the thing is, we had the book when I was young, when it came out. It came out in 76 or something, didn't
it? Not sure.
But we had the book when we were all right to watch it, when we were old enough to watch it. And it said she felt down and felt I always remember it, a nub of bone and some tattered flesh.
Wow.
I thought, that stays with you, because she felt down. So it's not like her leg's gone and she was in pain, but she just felt down. She thought she'd just caught her leg on something. So maybe that stays with me as well as within the film. So yeah, leg's gone at the knee, and she can't feel that it's gone, and she has to feel to realise it's gone.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's good. So Jaws, a classic. Are there any other Steven Spielbergs as well? Oh. Ryan, obviously,
is Spielberg.
I don't know.
Is Indiana Jones Steven Spielberg?
Oh, yes.
Because I was going to mention Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Indiana Jones. With the chocolate orange. Do you remember the advert?
So basically, Indy, we're introduced to Indiana Jones. He breaks into a temple. With a group of people at first, isn't it? And sort of.
And you don't see his face for a while.
Yeah. You see the whip, don't you? And
yes,
things like that.
Yeah.
And
it's Alfred Molina, isn't it? Octopus in Spider-Man. Dr. Octopus. He's the guy, Alfred Molina.
I was calling him Molina, but that's probably wrong. So the two of them sort of get into the vault, if you like, and then And then carefully, it's that. He's got that iconic, the gold idol and a bag of sand, and he tries to weigh it out. And then he puts it on, you think he's all right, and he turns around, and it slowly goes down. And then getting chased by a giant bull.
Brilliant. And it's been parodied.
Oh, so many times.
So people, why I said chocolate orange, for the people who don't realise this, if you're 40 or over, possibly, there was an advert where people were trying to get chocolate oranges, and instead of the golden idol, it was a chocolate orange, I think.
Was it in the actual film, or was it like someone pretending to
be? It was somebody pretending.
Got it.
But it's been parodied so many times. Yeah. And you got these. Also, was it probably one of the first ones? Certainly one of the first big films where you've got booby traps in like an ancient temple and darts flying all over the place and the floor giving way and huge, big, massive stones rolling after you.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
It is. It's fantastic. I mean, all the Indiana Jones films are great, aren't they?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think of the other openings. So I think like the second one, it's where he's in the club, isn't it? Where he's trying to get the diamonds.
Musical. And I don't mean musical, but you know what
it's
I mean.
It's a musical music. And what's the third one?
Anything
the third
goes.
One
it's Dudah Phoenix.
Yes, River Phoenix plays young Indy.
Yeah.
And he's trying to get some sort of idol back.
Are we going to talk about the fourth film? No, better not.
Best not.
Is there going to be a fifth one?
Yeah.
Yeah. They need to pass it down.
I think that might happen this time, you never know.
It's going to have to.
But yeah, great films anyway. And they're great openings. And I think, again, they all have their own little story. They do sort of imply the rest of the story. But if that wasn't there, you could still watch the rest of it and still follow along what's going on, which is great. Well, talking about bits that don't really affect the rest of the story, I mean, James Bond, every James Bond film has got a fantastic opening, and it's sort of like the signature way to open the film, isn't it? What would be your favourite opening for the James Bond film?
Depends what mood I'm in.
On the spot here.
Yeah, it really depends what mood. If you started saying, right, what happens in Doctor No, what happens in Your Only Other Choice, what happens in what, I wouldn't be able to tell you. But is Casino Royale the one in the toilet?
Yeah, he batters him, doesn't he?
That's obviously very violent and modern, because of course the James Bond, the whole feel of the film's changed as they've grown older, and the fight scenes in the original ones are somewhat comical, and now you're getting full on martial arts type of choreographed fighting, and it's mental. I don't know what's the best Bond opening. I'd have to watch all of
them again
and then categorize those. There's my weekend. And well, categorize
what's the one when he jumps off or he skis off a cliff. And you think like he's fallen to his doom.
I'm going to say, right, it's got to be a Roger Moore.
It is. And he pulls the parachute and it's like the British flag.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like probably the one that sticks in my head. Is that?
It's not The Spy Who Loved Me.
I thought it was The Spy Who Loved Me.
I've got a horrible... I think... Is The Spy Who Loved Me where he goes into the submarine and it's underground and it's got like an iceberg camouflage submarine because it's an iceberg on top? Or is that the bit that happens after it? That could happen after it.
I think, yeah. I can't remember.
I don't know.
That's the one where the car goes underwater. But that's in the film.
Fantastic film.
Yeah, it is. They are great.
But yeah, I'd have to look at all of them and then think. Because I don't think the newer ones will necessarily be better. The better action, but for its own little thing.
I think the newer ones inform the story more, don't they?
Yes.
As opposed to where the older ones, it was like its own little self-contained thing.
Mm. I'm thinking the one in New Orleans where Jane Seymour and Roger Moore and
Live and Let Die.
Yeah. That again is repeats later on in the story as well.
Yeah, and that's the one with the funeral scene.
Isn't it?
So it's a funeral going through New Orleans. There's obviously a spy. Because spies are very inconspicuous. Standing at the side of the road, and then he gets stabbed, I think, doesn't he?
Yeah, they just stand there, and a fella comes up to him and just
picks him up, picks him up in the coffin.
Yeah, they just lower the coffin over him, and then clearly he the actor grabs onto the coffin and then keep hold of those. And then they lift the coffin up and he's stuck inside there.
But it's funny because it's all like somber music in it. They're all crying.
Yeah. Da, da, da,
da, da. And then as soon as he's gone, it's like.
Is that one trumpet starts? And it's,
yeah. Great films. I mean, any James Bond film you can pick, and it's got a decent.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can't think of many others though, like that stick out. They're the ones. Oh, obviously the one, You Only Live Twice, where he gets shot.
Yeah. He gets James shot. Bond dies.
James Bond dies, isn't he?
Well,
and that was how the film
dies again.
And the film ended again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is now a watch every opening. There'll be a YouTube thing every opening to James Bond.
Yeah.
There will definitely be a YouTube. I've just seen something and I want to quickly go back to Spielberg, I think.
Go on.
The Goonies.
Right, what's the opening of the Goonies?
Where they...
Are they on the bikes?
No. Where they do... All the duels, they get the mum, the two sons, the brothers, they actually... They hold up a bank, then they get in their jeep, and then it's the getaway basically from there.
Oh yes! And do you know what I was thinking? I was thinking like the kids' mums.
No,
kids' mum.
And yeah, then
the Fratellis.
Yeah,
Fratelli brothers.
Yeah, and then the big guy Chunk. He's in an ice cream parlor and he sticks his ice cream against this. Oh, it's a milkshake and he's pressing his milkshake because he's going, oh wow, and the milkshake goes everywhere, and then they. I don't know if it's meant to happen in the film, whether it was planned by the brothers, by the characters. They enter a off-road race on the beach, and they win it, and it's great. That is really good. and the music's going with it as well. It's brilliant. Yeah.
It's funny, last night, we watch Teen Titans Go, like the little parody cartoon of DC, and they've done a parody of the Goonies yesterday. And it's Robin was trying to get back in the headquarters, but he wouldn't let him in until he'd done the booty dance.
Yeah, yeah.
A bit like the truffle shuffle. And then they have to go, because the headquarters are going to get knocked down, so they have to go and find some treasure in the basement. And they find it, they find like a monster and stuff like that, and there's an octopus. And I said to Tom, oh, this is the Goonies, isn't it? And he's like, is it? Yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah, so it is. Great film. I've just noticed another one. I've just been looking at this list here. Another superhero one, which I totally forgot to mention. The Watchmen. The Watchmen movie has a fantastic opening.
With the comedian.
Yeah. So it's got that opening where the comedian gets killed, thrown out the window. And all of this, it's in the comic as well. It's all in the comic, this bit. But then it's the title sequence to it as well. And the title sequence are like sort of little flashes of history in this world, so it's various superheroes doing
times are changing
things. Times are
music,
changing, playing.
Who sung that?
Bob Dylan. And it's just like various little things going on, like dropping the Hiroshima bomb.
It's a little bit like Up, as in that short period of time during that song, you see the change, because eventually they are outcast, aren't they?
Yeah, so it's like a registration act or something, whatever it's called. But yeah, superb.
And it is. It is very short snippets of film, a video as opposed to stills, isn't it? Because, or is the girl? I'm just thinking of the girl who puts the flower into the gun.
Oh, that's what.
Is that video or is it a still?
That's a movement. That's a video, isn't it? I mean, most of them are moving if you look at it, but it's sort of implied that it's like a picture flash.
Yes, yeah,
so
yeah.
So it flashes,
yeah.
But they're still moving. That makes it, so it's like a sort of slow motion picture, like camera picture, if you like. Yeah, great opening to the film. A very good film, underrated as well.
It's what I would say is an indie film.
Would you say it's an indie film? I think it'd be a cult film.
Yeah, no, a cult film. Because indie changed its meaning, didn't it?
That would imply it like didn't cost very much to make.
Yes,
but I think they spent quite a few more
money.
Independent. Yeah. But yeah, it's a great film. Right, any more sticking out?
Well, I'm surprised on everything I'm looking at, and maybe it's just me. I'll save that one till later.
Well, go on,
I was just going to say, go on, you do yours.
Well, again, I mean, I'm looking through a list and sort of remind me, and you go, oh yeah, that's a belter. Well, obviously, Pulp Fiction is an amazing film, and the opening to that is superb as well.
Honey Bunny.
Honey Bunny, yeah. I can't remember the character's names, but yeah, they're sort of like, yeah, everything's going to be all right, Honey Bunny, yeah. It's going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine. Just look at me. And then it's if, any of you motherfuckers move, I'll execute every motherfucking one of you, all that. Just, it's just great. It's a great start. And then, bam, 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 all that. Great. Great film. I mean, Tarantino's got a few decent openings as well.
Yeah.
Inglourious Basterds is another one. So that's the one with the. What's the actor's name?
Christoph Waltz.
Christoph Waltz.
As the. That's. Oh, that's.
He's like the Jew hunter, isn't he?
That, yes.
And he, you know, he goes into the family home in France, I'm assuming it is, I think it's France. And they're saying, like, do you know where your neighbours have gone? Because they're Jewish and we don't want anyone. And he's, you know, it's so intimidating. That's the best thing he's ever done.
Yeah.
Absolutely outstanding. But he's so creepy and intimidating. And he's sort of saying, you know, I know they're here, basically. So, and they're speaking French at first, aren't they? And then they switch to English.
Do you mind if we converse in English?
And they're talking about the
so
milk.
So they can't hear them.
And he's drinking the milk. And that was a lovely glass of milk and all that. And it's creepy.
That is
brilliant.
A good show.
Brilliant.
That.
I like that.
Yeah, that's not appeared on anything I've looked at either.
No. But
I'm still going to save my best till the end. So, The Shining's got a very ominous opening because you've got the music, and as well as the actual music, which is a classical piece of music, can't remember who by, it's got like the, I can only describe it as a spine tingling noise. And you've got the car running through the mountains, very, very isolated. There's a couple of things when you start delving into films about, like, oh, the cloud in the background looks like an Indian, because there's a lot of Indian. If you look into a film, it can get silly, but basically some people are saying that the film is about the mass murder of a load of native Indians.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's difficult. But there's a lot of people who are saying you can see things in the island that's in the middle of the lake as the car's moving, but very ominous. And I think, again, it's down to the music rather than the actual filming.
Mm.
And it's annoying me what the music is.
Yeah, I can't remember myself. Wasn't that footage used for another film?
This is something
we've talked about. This, I mean, was it Blade Runner? Did they use it in the good ending of Blade Runner? Yeah, I can't remember. But they've used the same footage twice, haven't they? That sort of helicopter flight over the mountains or whatever.
And it's so seamless and smooth. And how can a helicopter following a car feel creepy?
Mm.
Maybe it's because of, like, it's watching you, because obviously you're not hearing the helicopter. There's no sound except the music, so you're not hearing the car engine or anything like that. And then it approaches the Overlook Hotel.
Great. We need to watch The Shining again. I've got another one, and again, it's one of my favourite openings of a film. I mean, I love the film as a whole as it is, but the opening is what has always stuck with me, with the soundtrack by Kavinsky, Night Call. So the film is Drive, Ryan Gosling again.
I've only seen it once.
Have you?
Yeah.
So the opening, if you remember, is basically, it's him on a, he's a getaway driver, but he's very meticulous and very sticks to the time. And then he's doing a job. And it's sort of like he's getting chased by the police, and he's stopping here, and the helicopter goes over him, and he's like talking to himself, and you can see, and it's all from the viewpoint of the back, if I remember, so you can see him, you can see what he's doing, and you can see what's going on in front, like the police cars going in front, things like that. And then when he gets away, that's when Night Call comes on, which is a great soundtrack.
Right.
Brilliant. I need to watch Drive again. He's watching all these films. Yeah, it's so good. It's fantastic. And again, It's one of them where there's very little dialogue. I mean, I think there is some things said, to be honest. I think it's by the crux in the back more than anything him. But he's very meticulous. Oh, that's right, and he parks a car up and then puts his cap on when there's like a baseball game or something going on. So he goes into the crowd, blends into the crowd, yeah. Great film.
How about Star Wars, the very original 1977 with the scrolling?
Yeah. Well, that was very
tell your story.
That was very groundbreaking, wasn't it? Because most films had credits at the start at the time, whereas this has just went into it.
Yeah.
Here's the Star Wars.
Yeah.
Here's what's happening. Here's the big massive ship. So, did you see that in the pictures?
No.
Have you ever seen it in the pictures, Tommy?
No.
No. So like, I believe that like, people who've watched it have said like that ship coming over, like it's like a third of the screen, isn't it? Something mm-hmm. massive, isn't it? Coming over was like absolutely groundbreaking and so memorable to them. But yeah, you're right. I mean, all the Star Wars films have got that iconic opening.
Yeah, the copied itself.
Yeah. It's great, isn't it?
And when they released, now let me get this right. It's God. 4, 5, 6. When they released episode 7, obviously Force Awakens, after a big long gap, I'm sure it was the same tiny little ship, big ship, or something like that. Mm. There was something very, very similar. But it's copied itself, which is good.
Yeah.
Well, why not? If the formula works.
Mm.
Then Super. Stick to it.
Super.
I'm gonna shout out here for James, who's no longer sort of with us. I reckon James would say Scream, because Drew Barrymore, big star at the time,
mm-hmm.
getting murdered in the first spoilies in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah. She was all over the posters.
Yeah,
she was like the big girl. Name draw.
Yeah,
and again, often parodied, an iconic scene. You know, what's your favourite scary movie?
Mm.
You know, someone speaking to you on the phone who's stalking you outside. It's great, and it's everyone's worst nightmare, I suppose. You know, being in your own home.
Because you think you're in your home, but you're not safe.
Fantastic, great, great. I haven't seen many of the late ones. Though. I need to watch some of the sequels of Scream.
I've not seen them, no.
No.
I think the first one, I like the first one. I think there's better out there. If I was going to, I don't know. I'd rather rewatch some other things.
Yeah.
Than spend time looking at that.
Well, speaking of James, I think another one he'd like us to mention would be The Godfather.
Yes.
So the opening of The Godfather is at the wedding.
Yeah.
Is it? Now, is it Michael's wedding or is it his sister's wedding? I can't remember.
Sister's wedding. Because Michael gets lost in the crowd, I think, and he says go look for him, so I'm pretty sure it's the sister.
And everyone's coming to the Godfather to sort of ask for favours or what have you. And it just shows you that Marlon Brando, what's his name, Don Corleone, is he?
Mm.
Don Corleone, he's just this immense man, isn't he? He's like, everyone's scared of him, he's got so much power, to the point that, you know, he can grant people's wishes at his wedding. Superb.
So what do you... I've not done my favourite yet. What do you think your favourite is? Have you done it yet?
If I had to watch an opening now, what would I watch? I don't know. I mean, Up is probably the one that's emotionally got me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go for Up, I think. I think Up's my favourite.
Is it? Right. Yeah. Gosh. I'd go back to my favourite film of all time, The Italian Job. Because you've got, on days like these, Matt Munro singing away.
It is.
But then you've got beautiful driving roads. And if you're a person who likes driving, then, you know, it's just like, I'm going like this, for those who can't see. It's just amazing roads, amazing scenery. You've got a Lamborghini V12 and it's not fake noise over, it's not a sound effect, it's the actual noise of the car. I'm not saying it's the noise there and then, it's just incredible. It's so suave and cool, and you know, this guy sitting there with a cigarette hanging out his mouth and his ridiculously trendy sunglasses on, going silly speeds, and they're not sped up, silly speeds around these roads when there are other cars coming on. Yeah. And he's taking corners, like proper full-on 180 turn round on yourself, corners, stupidly quick, and there's just massive drops, and then the music starts.
Yeah,
and then it all goes to hell when he gets caught in the tunnel.
Yeah.
It's just got so much to offer, so much to offer. That so there's mine.
That's a good one. I've always wondered, Is it like not a bulldozer, is it? But it's something like that, in the tunnel.
Yeah.
So were they just waiting there for him?
They were waiting there.
So what happens if someone had got in front of them?
Well, you know, this is film world. it's make believe. They could have stopped all the traffic, maybe, to make sure that he's got a clear road.
Or what about the people behind them? Like, have they stopped them?
Well, he's going that fast. They're like bloody miles away.
But that's what I mean, like you know, like they know he's coming through the left hand side of the tunnel. Yeah, if you like, yeah. So they blocked the right hand side of the tunnel, so no one.
They must have, but they didn't.
Anyway, it is a cool open. It is. Brilliant. All right, should we end it there?
Yeah, yeah.
Any honourable mention you can think of?
I can't think of anything. I think going back to Lee's Apocalypse Now, what's it? It's the Doors are singing. This is the end. That's, if we're coming back to music, is music making it? Mm. Maybe it is.
It's a great way to open a movie, isn't it? Start it with a big, you know, big number piece, you know, memorable song. Like another one that's reminded me there, the music. So, Die Hard 3, Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Yeah.
So, Hot Town, somewhere in the city. Yeah. And it's just shots of New York. And all of a sudden the music stops and there's an explosion. Great opening. Great. Memorable. And it, you know, all them shots of New York and obviously the song, it looks roasting. It looks like it's blistering heat. Yeah. That's what it's meant to be, you know what I mean? So, yeah, another great opening. Honourable mention there.
I'm just having a quick look through. Going back to James Bond, there's a car chase scene that starts at Quantum of Solace, and it starts really, really quick.
Probably the best bit of the film, to be honest.
I don't mind the rest of it. I mean, is this the one where he's picking them off when they're at the opera, and he's finding out who's who when he mentions, he manages to get one of the phones, and he says something. So where are we doing this? And they all start leaving, and he starts taking photos of them.
Yeah.
I don't mind Quantum of Solace if that's that one, but the start is brilliant because it's so quiet. You see these cars tearing through Italy. I'm gonna say.
Don't know. Yeah, it must be, mustn't it? Because it's from the end of Casino Royale. Casino Royale.
So and it's really really quiet, and I think it pans in and gets closer and closer, and then all of a sudden. You hear these engines, and it's a brilliant car chase. And then at the end of it, he's got Mr. White in the boot, hasn't he?
Yeah,
and it's just Reservoir Dogs.
Literally a continuation of the previous film.
Yeah,
which hasn't happened in a James Bond film before. I don't think.
Don't think so.
Don't think it has. But yeah, great opening.
So on that note.
Should we finish there?
Yeah.
So thanks, listener buddy. We really do all appreciate all your listens. If you want to get in contact on all the socials, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, or you can email us chatandflicks@hotmail.com. There's com, isn't it? And any ideas what we'll do next episode, Richard?
I think we need to get back onto things like films to see before you die, so we're up to something.
It's a good one.
But other things that are coming up, we need to go back to sort of like the films of. And a certain director or a certain actor, because I enjoyed doing that.
We do.
Well, we gave a little bit of background, so if you've not listened to those, I did the one and only Gary Oldman.
Yeah.
You did.
I did. DiCaprio, I think. Leonardo DiCaprio, was it?
Yeah. I like doing those.
A few different episodes.
And when we say actors, we're not being sexist, but because actors is now the generic term.
That's
so
it.
Actresses
includes
as
male
well.
Male or female or other.
Because I think we covered Margot Robbie, didn't we?
We did.
I've just realised what I said. Oh, dear me. I'm moving on.
On that note. So the next film to see before we die is Star Wars Episode 5. So I think we need to cover
Star
Wars films.
All of them, yeah.
Yeah.
All nine of them.
Well, we'll do the first three. We'll do three. The three good ones. Right. Thanks, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.